This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Over half the women in Canada are survivors of violence, and 30% of those who are married have experienced violence from their spouse. While violence against women continues to devastate individuals, families, and communities, the vast majority of women who seek support services will also have to face legal battles. Angela Marie McDougall is executive director of the Battered Women Support Services, where 80% of the women who come to her organization are facing at least one legal issue. She joined us in the studio to tell us about the additional challenges this poses to these vulnerable women. Good morning, Anne-Marie.
Good morning.
Who's at risk of being a victim of violence?
Well, I mean, I think from our point of view at Battered Women Support Services, violence against women, girls and women, is the most pressing social issue of our time. It's endemic, and it's an epidemic, and it is a part of the very fabric of all of our social relations in Canada and all around the world. So, we talk about the spiral of gender violence, which, you know, for many women starts from infancy and continues to being a senior. So who is at risk? All of us, are at risk.
What kind of legal issues do women who come to you for services, what kind of issues do they typically face?
The women that come to Battered Women Support Services and are, receive support from, 22 staff and, about 40 volunteers, women are dealing with a multitude of legal concerns. They can start with criminal legal issues if police have been involved and if there's been criminal charges laid against the male partner, and can continue on with family law if there's a separation and a woman is wanting to separate and is wanting to have a division of property, make arrangements for the children. Immigration, women who are new recent immigrants are engaged in the immigration system in terms of getting status or having we have at least 2% of the women that access our services are refugee women. The Indian Act is a considerable piece of racist legislation that is very much a part of First Nations women, Indigenous women's lives from the cradle to the grave, and all of the complexities around that piece of legislation. Residential tenancy, that for many women who maybe have left, who are seeking safety and having a safe place to live, are dealing with residential tenancy issues with landlords. Of course, poverty law and all of the issues around poverty law, and child welfare for many women coming to the attention of the child protection system.
What happens for women when they face a variety of these? Because obviously you might not just be facing one particular issue. You might be facing custody. There might be immigration problems or legal problems. How does that complicate things?
Well, it makes it very complicated, and it is most definitely the reality of many women's lives that women are interfacing with the matrix of laws that are working together and in opposition with each other some instances. So, as you've mentioned, for instance, the criminal legal system might have created protection orders. And then the family law system requires the woman to have access with the abuser. And, that creating a whole lot of challenges there in being in direct violation of the protection order and all the challenges that she has. She'll have the burden of trying to make those arrangements. So that's one example of how. But, we've had a spike recently in women who've been wrongfully arrested for allegedly perpetrating domestic violence. And that has, in one egregious situation, the woman in this case was a refugee woman, did not have status in Canada, did not speak English, and had a child. And so there's three areas of law there. We, as in our work, our amazing frontline advocates who work tirelessly in doing the advocacy, in this instance, were interfacing with three areas of law and three lawyers in this case. Four lawyers actually, because of the child protection piece. It was very complex.
Wow. What kind of barriers do women face? These are incredibly complex and complex issues, and there's a lot of stress involved and issues of safety. What kind of barriers do women face just in terms of the legal system, in terms of addressing these issues in court?
Well, the biggest concern that we've had since forever, as long as I can remember, is women's access to to legal aid. And the ability to have representation. We've had progressively funding cuts have decimated the legal aid system, which has disproportionately affected the women that we see. Women do not have representation. They're dealing with family law cases that are very complex and do not have lawyers and are having to prepare their documents, affidavits and other, legal documents and file them appropriately within the system. And there's two systems. There's the provincial system and then the federal, the Supreme Court system. And so they're, it's very complex, and women are, may not speak English as a first language, may have children or working and have to, so part of what, it's a significant barrier. And then women are faced in court by their male partner who does have a lawyer most times. And imagine that, actually. And so that's part of what we do. The work that we do is to support women to self-represent. And that is a serious issue because it disproportionately affects women.
There are advocacy groups for men that say that the court system favor women, specifically when it comes to custody. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, that's not what we're seeing. I mean, I think that the men's rights lobby, they're doing what they do, and that they're highlighting their point of view, which, certainly I disagree. What we see is that, we don't see that the justice system, the legal systems, are recognizing the disadvantages that women face in our communities and within our societies. Your question about, men's rights lobby thinking that perhaps women are, have an advantage, we see routinely women losing custody of their children. We see on a regular basis women having to share custody with a man that's abusive, not only to her but to the children, and that there is this lack of understanding to the extent of which women are, saddled with the responsibility for raising the children and the care of the children, and that, looking at what could be negligible fathering, and I'm talking about abusive relationships here. I'm talking about relationships that are violent and abusive. I'm not talking about the general population. And where an abusive man is his parenting, any effort that he makes in parenting, regardless of how negligible, is seen at par with her, 24-hour day work. And so these are the kinds of the things that we see, that there's this belief that there is equality. But we're seeing that that's not the case. That's not the case for the women that, that access our services. And, and the men's lobby, that's the men's lobby, the men's rights lobby.
The BC criminal justice system is currently undergoing a review that's scheduled to conclude in July. Are you hopeful that that process could bring some positive changes for women?
Well, the biggest thing here is, the need for legal aid. I mean, women are needing legal aid and have representation. And so in the absence, for the women that we see, that process will not affect, the women that we see. Because we've already had several processes that have looked at the need for legal aid in family law cases. In terms of the criminal law piece, what we are seeing are that there are, there are arrests, the arrests are happening. What we've seen, again, is a spike in wrongful arrests of women. and we for allegedly perpetrating domestic violence. And so we've been, you know, addressing that. So I, you know, when I think about the review, I think that it, you know, I think that it's a useful exercise. Unless that it's going to be infused with an analysis and understanding of the ways in which the, you know, women are disproportionately at risk of violence, and if, unless it's going to look at the ways in which women are, you know, don't have access to family law, you know, and legal aid, unless it looks at the ways in which, you know, we are stratified as people within our communities along racial and class lines, unless it looks at, you know, some of the, you know, these systemic issues, I'm not sure how effective it will be for the women that we serve.
It's been really good talking with you about this issue today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for coming in. I've been speaking with Angela Marie McDougall. She's the executive director of the Battered Women Support Services. Angela will be one of the panelists in an upcoming community forum called Gender and Justice. The forum will be led by retired BC Supreme Court Justice Donna Martinson and will be an evening of dialogue about the economic, cultural, and structural barriers to women's full and equal participation in the justice system. The forum will be on Tuesday, April 24th, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at SFU Woodwards. For more information or to reserve your seat, you can please visit pivotlegal.org and follow the link to Gender and Justice.